Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 9th. Happy Admissions Day, everybody.
Woo!
Do you know that?
I had no clue.
I didn't think you did. You kind of look clueless to me this morning, Mr. Sundberg.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, it's just because it's Mom's birthday. So
that's how you know. Made
the association early, at an early age. Yeah, yeah. I was born on Mickey Mantle's birthday. She was born on California's admission, but she was born out of this time zone. So
okay, it's good.
Pardon me. It's Arnold Palmer's birthday. It's not Mickey Mantle.
Nice.
You're not going to ask, though, are you?
No.
It's okay.
No.
Good. You're astute. Our quote this morning comes from Ray Kroc, who had no M in his name, but he's known for McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
And the Padres. Yeah. Quality of leaders is reflected in the standards that they set for themselves.
I like that one.
Ooh. We going to see it on the wall in the office?
No. I set the standards pretty low.
Constantly overachieving. Yeah. What a guy. Oh, boy. Fires. What sense do you have about the economic impact of these things in the area? Obviously, there's the health stuff.
But yeah.
In the eastern part, in your stomping grounds, are people saying it's been a rough summer because of the fires?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the there's a lot of people that work on the fires that make a bunch of, they make a lot of money while they're working on the fires.
The firemen. And
but,
relations.
The towns, the businesses in towns just get beat up because, and I know for myself, we're usually in Willow Creek quite a bit in the summertime, and we've been up there very little this summer just because the smoke and the Bigfoot days is last weekend, and we went up for that, and no smoke this weekend.
No flaming Bigfoots, huh?
No flaming Bigfoots, no. But yeah, if you're dependent on people coming over, in summertime is usually their big time of the year. It's really brutal.
It's where I've kind of heard also a lot of folks from the valley coming over, escaping the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's not been as hot this year either.
Yeah, a friend of mine has a farm up in Hoopaw.
And he grows?
She grows fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah. And
you want the details.
they told me that Hoopaw was, when it got really bad, it's like a ghost town around there. Most, people just came to the coast and found someone to stay with. Or
did it impact the fruits?
Not that I know of. Yeah, they had a decent year this year.
Good. Are they a roadside stander, or do they sell to the local grocery guys?
Farmers market and local grocers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they get to come out to the coast every once in a while, breathe that clean, fresh air.
Yeah, they have a place over here too. So they.
Oh.
Yeah. They're good.
This isn't the typical farmers market farmer.
No, no.
This goes along with the house on the Big Island.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Want to be sure we're talking about the same people here.
No, different people.
Does the county have any money set aside to help in this kind of a situation? I mean, if Fortuna, you couldn't say local state of emergency because that really doesn't play, but is there opportunity for the county to assist?
No, not really. To answer your question directly, but.
Good, well, direct is always good. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, not only the fire in the eastern part, but also the water levels have been a point of discussion, I guess, would be a simple way to say it. How much, not enough, drought, fish, Indian rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. has the drought kind of trumped everything? Because we've not heard an awful lot of talk this year about what we normally hear about. Oh, the river has to be up at so much, and it's normally, those are like normally press releases every other day coming through, and we're not hearing that kind of stuff. Has the drought kind of trumped it all, or is there other stuff at work here?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both, but mostly it is because, you know, the county got its recognition of the 50,000 acre feet per year, and the Bureau of Reclamation took that and used that as what they were going to use for releases this year. And since the water districts from the Central Valley had tried to stop it before, you know, it went to the same judge every time. And so this last year, when they tried to do the temporary restraining order, the judge said, you know, the Humboldt County has 50,000 acre feet of water. Why aren't you using that? It's, you know, it's a basic, that's how I read it anyways. And so the federal government said, okay, Humboldt has 50,000 acre feet. The Bureau of Reclamation used that water is what they were releasing this year. And so it pretty much took all the arguments away from the Central Valley water districts trying to stop the flows for fish and using that as a beneficial use. And that's, you know, there's two different water rights that the Bureau of Reclamation goes by. They go by, it's called Proviso 1 and 2, and Humboldt County's water is in number 2. And the first one is being argued in court right now. So I think that's why you didn't hear too much about it, is they were busy with other lawsuits, and then the judge pretty much very quickly slapped that temporary restraining order down, which was great for, you know, that's what we were hoping for, and it all panned out.
The arguments on the Klamath, farmers, potatoes versus fish. Okay. The arguments that seem to be starting to get a little bit of traction around the Shasta Whiskey Town and Trinity Lakes are fish versus people. Hmm. Is that going to change the dynamic of the discussion when it starts talking about not agricultural rights, but basic water needs of some of these developments that have been allowed to go out into the deserts, into areas where they're not able to sustain themselves?
That's a good question. I think that it would definitely ratchet up the conversation if you're talking about people instead of vegetables. You know, there's the fact is, though, there's a lot of water still, you know, and I've heard, I don't know if you've read that article recently that came out, that of how California is dealing with the drought and what farmers are doing with the drip irrigation and how many acres they have under drip, and, you know,
different levels of investment that people can have.
Yeah, so there's ways to deal with it, and I mean, there's still a lot of water. You know, when if you look at the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement that Humboldt signed on to, and
that's the one that Joe was working on.
Yeah, the big agreement and all that. That's how they dealt with it. Is they brought everybody together and said, how do we make this work for everybody, for fish, people, farmers, and, you know, that's the agreement that came out of it. And, you know, there's some people don't like it, and, you know, everybody doesn't like all of it, and that's probably the best case scenario for a good agreement. But it's we're waiting for Congress to act on that. And
I was curious. That's got to be on somebody's timeline, doesn't it? I mean, Obama's guys can't wait another 2 years.
It needs Congress to act on it and get it to the floor and have it voted on and all that. And
so the secretary isn't pushing it. It's now just sitting there.
It needs to get through the committees and, you know, different the Oregon senators Wyden or Walden or one of those. It's
just an old radio guy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But it's hung up there. That's what I know. I know where it's hung up, and that's where it's hung up.
Is there any pressure to move it?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a lot of people that have invested a lot of time, and, you know, their constituents are up there that are saying, hey, we've got this agreement. We can all live with it.
What is the hang up then?
I think, you know, when we went back to Washington, D.C., you know, we went to some pretty staunch Republican offices, and they said, why would you take out 4 perfectly good dams? And we tried to lay out the argument of why you would. And But that's where you start the conversation from. And so I think it's...
Well, sure, in other parts of the country, you know, that's all flood control stuff. You know, that's keeping people alive rather than here.
Yeah, and these dams do not... They're not for flood control, and they're not for water storage. They're for power generation only, you know. And then, but one of the benefits that it's had is it's created...
So you said you're pro-coal, and got them to sign off?
Sure. The people who are really against it, though, are the people who have lakes in their backyard now. You know, and then once these dams are removed, it would...
Well, like the Russian River guys.
Yeah.
You know, they build economies up on other people's water. Yeah.
So, but the power generation for these dams is really old technology, you know, so there's big investment that the dam company would have to do.
I gotcha.
They'd have to reinvest in the power generation to new technology, and then they'd also have to put fish ladders in and all that, and it's just way too expensive.
Yeah, it's a huge investment on something that doesn't have the return.
So if they want to keep those dams, that's going to have to happen one way or the other. And
they're not willing to make those investments, are they?
No, that's why they've signed on to
the agreement. Yeah. Yeah. So I would think that if all parties are excited about it,
it's less expensive just to remove them than it is to keep them in and do the improvements.
KINS News and Information Time. I was going to say something about like bad teeth. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, some of the different challenges that are out there, we've talked a little bit about water. Okay, we had the situation with the electrical last week. Okay. Some of the more pedestrian things are I guess, more basic, I would suggest. The roads. And we're getting a ton of work going on 299 right now. Are you as impressed by that work? I've only gone over it a couple of times in the last little bit, but just the amount they're dragging off and the amount they're filling in. I mean, some of those dips that you know it's going to be roadway in a couple of months, you look and go, I can't even see the bottom of that thing, and they've got it all ready to start accepting.
Yeah, when the first time I drove through there when they were really going, I thought to myself, how in the world did they get this passed in California? Is that you thought too?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, this doesn't look like what I mean,
this
thought.
Is shaving off mountains and filling in gullies, and holy, that is a big project.
The feds, I think, are trumping the state.
Yes, yeah, they did not follow CEQA to the T on that one, did they? But yeah, no, it is impressive, and it is a lot nicer too. You know, to try and get through there, and
well, they're doing a little work on Western Trinity County too by the dump, by China Slide. Okay. A little bit of straightening out there. Is the whole concept to make 299 what 101 should be?
Yeah, it's going to be STAA accessible when they're finished. So the trucks that
can't
have
go through Richardson's Grove.
Yeah, the ones that have campers on them. You know, it's not bigger. I've heard people say, oh, we're going to have these big trucks come through. It's the same kind of truck that's everywhere. It just has a camper shell on it. You know, so it's a little bit, it makes it a little bit longer. But it's the same, they all have the same weight limits. You know, it doesn't matter if you have a short trailer or a long trailer, you have the same weight limit. So it's not going to be any different than, it's not going to change anything dramatically, except it's going to be a lot less expensive for people who ship things in and out of here.
Or who buy things in here.
And for the end consumer, it'll make a difference.
Is that whole plug that has been there and the activity that's going on, do you kind of wonder why we can't take that same energy and have the same success on other projects?
Yeah. I've thought that too when I've driven through there. It's like, you know, and then one of the things was on Richardson's Grove, and it got hung up, you know, with, I think, counting of trees and just, you know, the way that they did their CEQA process. And you know, how that one got hung up in such a small project, and, you know, the biggest tree was is very, very small. And then that one, you're shaving off mountains and then dumping them into the next hillside. It's like, you know, you try and compare them. It's just, it is strange.
We got another opportunity, though, to see that at play with the situation that's happening in southern Delaware County also with that whole situation. Are you getting any traction on Last Chance Grade at all? Or is it still touchy-feely,
no,
kumbaya around the table?
Yeah, we've just had another meeting a couple weeks ago, and we got to the point where we all agreed that no, and we've got
friends of everybody.
Yeah, and save the fill
everything,
in the blank.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
You can use those phrases, by the way.
Okay.
Friends of everybody and, yeah,
okay.
Save the everything.
It's easier, yeah. but it's important, though. They're in the room, and every single person in this group said that the no build option is not acceptable.
So, I mean, status quo?
Status quo.
Is out.
No build, just, you know, trying to deal with what's there is not an option. That's a big ways to get to for some people, you know, and it took a lot of information to get to that point. And so now where we're at is which route would make the most sense, you know, because I think I've told you before that, you know, the least expensive route is the most environmentally harmful. You know, go through mature and old growth forests.
Some of the old logging roads, probably.
Yeah, through state parks, you know.
Mill Creek, I mean, that's what it was. So
yeah,
at least it has, it's a historical use.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the routes is up the road there through Mill Creek where it pops out where the campground is.
Yeah.
And then what we're really looking at now, though, is tunneling, because they can go right underneath. And they've got designs now. And
like the Collier Tunnel? I mean, that length, or are you talking?
They're shorter. Yeah, shorter tunnels. But they.
So it'd be light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, kind of like you're running on a
train?
There's
two tunnels, yeah, that they showed us that you do have to go through two mountains to get through Last Chance Grade. And what they need to do, what Caltrans needs to do, is do some drilling and figure out what's down there, see if it's stable, and you know whether it's a feasible option or not. So that's
have the congressman weighed in.
He's got both the staffers there at these meetings, and they basically just listen. And we have a facilitator that runs the meetings and you know keeps us.
Isn't that a critical component to this? Is that the feds are going to have to. And I guess maybe the state, well, maybe not the state if the feds are doing it, waive a lot of the normal time-consuming processes this happen?
This is a 25-year process to do it through the normal
channels.
That's about how
long it took Willits, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That we're all convinced that road will not sit on that cliff for the next 25 years. I mean, they have cameras on there, and they also have GIS monitors,
and so they know all the time with the scopes.
Yeah, well, it actually sends a signal out now, and so they can read how far it's moved per day,
and it's measured on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's moving quite rapidly. So it's no one thinks it's going to stay there for the next 25 years. What they could do is keep cutting into the bank, you know, and then eventually there's. You know, trees on top that will have to come out, and you know, so that's how we got to the no build option. Is not even you're going to do the same amount of harm by doing nothing than you would be if you planned the whole thing out. So,
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you look at reality with the Last Chance Grade project, you're going to need to have the feds come in and waive a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have that being done now, so whenever the determination is for the project, that's already done. Running on a parallel, okay, guys, when you arrive at and everybody agrees, all this stuff has already been taken care of, you can start working, you know, 2 weeks after you have the agreement. It would seem like anything that could be done to save time would be what everybody would be in favor of and would be pushing for.
Uh-huh. So where they're at is Caltrans is doing a parallel process. They're doing their regular process, and you need information to get to the point where they can make that decision, and they just don't have the information yet. So what we're doing is we're gonna reconvene around the first of the year and let Caltrans catch up with, you know, we've said
doing their core.
Yeah, we need all this information to figure out which route to go, you know, which route
to
recommend. It's down to a handful. We'll say that there's some disagreement on exactly which way to go, but you know, and then a lot of it is, you know, I think most people said tunnel looks like a viable option that would, you know, not be as harmful and
kind of cool.
get you just right through it. It's really fast. You know, you just go right
is
on the back side.
Is the construction time that much quicker?
It's less time, I think.
Oh, really?
Because the ones that go further around the hill, there's a lot more cut and fill, and a lot of it isn't going to be fill because there's a lot of sensitive habitat. So that what they do is put bridges.
It ain't $299, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So they put bridges in, and then they got to find somewhere to take all the cut, you know, all the land, all the material. And there's not very many places, I guess, that take that stuff anymore.
Really, just all dirt, regular old dirt.
Dirt. Earth.
$299 is taken.
Yeah. Well, that's the, you know, the brilliance of that project too, is they took, you know, the mountain and then put it in the next hole. And it works, but this one, this, you know, it's through state parks and just.
That's what I was wondering. With the parks, are they understanding of this?
State parks is in the room. Redwood Parks is in the room, and so yeah, they get it. They know that something has to happen. And then, you know, I think the other big push for this too is that if there's a failure, everything goes into emergency mode, and
does that get done faster?
Yeah. Yeah, except then you don't have a road for, you know, a few years while they're doing whatever emergency roads or emergency pairs that they have to do.
Which our mule train kind of went out a couple years ago as a way to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
You haven't found too many mules that wanted me on their back.
I think your toes are dragged.
Yeah, there's that callus thing too. So yeah. As you're looking at this, positive?
Yeah,
hopeful,
very. Yeah, yeah.
Crossing actually, your fingers? Where are you in that we're going to hit this thing in time?
Much better than I expected. I was expecting more resistance to a project from the groups that were in the room, and there's not. Everyone is on the same page. It's like, we have to do something. Let's just find what works the best, and we were all moving together. So it was actually really hopeful, and I think the congressman is going to be happy at the end of this process.
Hopefully the community is too.
Well, that's what it's for, is for the community, you know, and it would be devastating financially to
everybody.
Klamath, Crescent
everybody.
City, you know, my district especially.
We would get hit here.
Yeah. Yeah, Eureka would feel it.
Thanks for coming by. That was
thanks for having
Feel,
me.
F-E-E-L, not Phil, F-I-L-L.
Yeah.
Clarity. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you'll see you then.